Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lickin' on Lending, the weekly mortgage market update, providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here is your host of Lickin' on Lending, David Lickin.
Coming to you live from Las Vegas. I always want to say that. You know, you watch the shows, and when they say live from Las Vegas, well, that's where we're live from today. Well, thank you so much for tuning in. This is David Lickin. It's Monday, the October 20th. Got an exciting broadcast. Lots of new information coming up. Some things to share with you. We're broadcasting live from the 101st MBA Annual Conference here in Las Vegas. And it's at the Mandalay Bay. If you're not here, get on over here. It's a great conference. It's a lot of good information being released here. In fact, we've got David Stevens on later in the broadcast in the Hot Topic sharing about what's on the broadcast. So stay tuned. He's got some interesting comments that you're going to enjoy listening to and get some insights into the conference, what's happening here, some of the guests, what we're anticipating hearing. Some press releases already coming out. I'm going to be talking about those a little bit as well. About what Mel Watts will be saying about what they're wanting to do with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Interesting stuff. So he's speaking this afternoon, and that is, of course, the FHFA director. And so lots of good information. Good to have you with us. Appreciate you so much. This, again, is the broadcast that's written, created by mortgage professionals for mortgage professionals, and we're the proud recipient of the Innovation Award from Progress in Lending. Thank you so much, Tony Garitano and your crew. In fact, I was at that event last night. He has the Engage event, and we had some really good discussion there about some of the things going on. And one of the ones that really piqued my interest was what's coming in 2015. Fascinating discussion. Share with you, if we have time, some of those thoughts as well. Consolidation is one of the words. Lack of innovation and consolidation. So anyway, appreciate you tuning in with us. I want to also say thank you to United Guarantee, who's our sponsor, who's also here as a major sponsor at this conference. Earlier this month, United Guarantee introduced the Secure Cert, the suite of five recession relief options that provides increased transparency, and lenders can choose an accelerated relief that becomes effective as little as 12 months. This is with these five recession relief choices, lenders have the flexibility to select the plan management needs. To find out more, go to SecureNet today at www.ugcorp.com or contact your local account executive. Again, mortgage insurance underwritten by United Guarantee Insurance, Residential Insurance Company. Anyway, appreciate them being here at the conference, sponsoring our radio show, as well as being a major sponsor here at the conference. These conferences are expensive, and to have them underwriting some of the stuff, we just don't really thoroughly understand the benefits of it. Also, special thank you to Brent Emler and the folks there at Velma, stands for Virtual Electronic Marketing Assistant. We really appreciate the opportunity to have them as a sponsor and a close partner with us. You're getting emails from us through their service. It is an outstanding email marketing service, and I encourage you to check it out. Go over to Velma.com, V-E-L-M-A.com. Of course, we thank our regular sponsors, Alice, Joe, and of course, my business partner, Andy Schell. I'll do this as a result of us just really having a passion to help this industry see the things that are so important. We're, again, attending the MBA's 101st Annual Expo here in the Mandalay Bay Resort in Las Vegas. We'll be here through Wednesday of this week. Also, we've got coming up the MBA's Mergers and Acquisition Workshop through this year. It's in November 6th. It's at the Westin Dallas-Fort Worth Airport. check that one out, especially if you have any inclination wanting to know what's going on in the acquisitions. It's a big conference. My business partner, Chuck Klein, will be speaking there. And, of course, he's one of the M&A experts in the industry. Also, we have the Texas Mortgage Bankers 64th Annual Education Seminar Workplace. Alice and I will be both there. I'm moderating a session that's going to be extraordinarily interesting on mini correspondent lending. I did this last week in New Jersey with the New Jersey Mortgage Brokers Association. Fascinating. Very well-attended conference, by the way. They're in Atlantic City. The casinos may be closing up in Atlantic City, but certainly the mortgage brokers aren't, live and well out there on the East Coast. And it was great to be there and present to them. And we'll be discussing that at the 64th Annual Education Seminar and Marketplace put on by the Texas Mortgage Bankers Association in Houston, November 19th and 20th. On the 19th, we have the Warehouse Conclave, and that's where all the warehouse lenders around the nation are coming together to talk about some really important stuff. So if you care about what you want to know what your warehouse listeners or lenders are listening to, check it out. I'll be moderating a three-hour panel, three panels, but I'll be moderating all three of them. It's going to be great. Joe Farr, good to have you with us and dialed in, as always, and love to get a market update with what's going on. I haven't had a chance to check it today, but too busy here at the conference.
No, we're up just two, and it's been that's about the middle of the range so far today. We have been up as high as 6:30 seconds on the day, and then back down to flat for where we ended the day on Friday. So, been bouncing around a little bit, just in that range. But relative to last week, that's a very quiet day. There's really no economic data released today, and the stock market's been fairly quiet as well. The Dow's down, I think, 60 points, but again, that's nothing compared to last week.
Yeah, exactly right. So it'll be nice to have a quiet week for a change. I think the number of gray hairs that happened last week was over the top. So
I tell you what.
Let's get into it.
Yeah, anything but quiet, right?
Yeah.
Last week, the bond market, you'll remember the bond market was closed on Monday, but the stock market was open, and the stock market sold off pretty hard, down at 225 points. So when we got to work on Tuesday, we had a very nice rally in MBS prices. I think we started the day up about 16:30 seconds. So after that start, prices kind of held where they were for the full day. But then there were a couple very large swing days on Wednesday and Thursday. I mean, on Wednesday, one of the bigger correspondents issued four rate sheets. So a couple of them had favorable price changes, and another had a very large unfavorable. But the movement throughout the week after Monday was very volatile, but quite frankly, didn't have much net change. We ended the week favorable because of Monday's or Tuesday's start, but just very volatile swings. It's all being driven, not all, but I mean, a lot of it's being driven by the swings that we're seeing in the stock market, because it too had some very wild swings during the day. And that's being driven, I think, mostly by just the concern about, confidence in the economic growth rate of global economies and how that might spill over into the U.S. And then, Dave, you'll remember the retail sales report came out on Wednesday, and it was the thing that caused a lot of the very large reaction in the market Wednesday when it first came out much lower than expected. The bond market rallied big time, and the stock market sold off big time, and then by the end of the day, it pretty much reversed itself. So we don't want the issues, the economic issues in Europe and China and Japan spilling over into the U.S., but boy, that retail sales number was a bit of a surprise. We'd seen about three straight months of very nice gains in the retail sales number, and so a two-tenths drop in retail sales from what had been happening was quite a surprise. The other economic data that came out last week is really kind of non-consequential. It was mixed. The manufacturing data was mixed. One beat and the other missed. The jobless claims, though, fell to the lowest level since 2000.
I noticed that.
Very surprising. And then consumer sentiment rose to the best level since the start of the Great Recession. So the best level since 2007. And then housing starts met expectations. But really, it didn't seem to be these events, other than retail sales, the economic data didn't have a lot of influence on the on MBS prices or the mortgage market last week.
It's interesting. Housekeeping just knocked on my door here, Joe, so I was a little distracted on that. Yeah, it was the consumer sentiment rose. That was interesting. I mean, there was that was just one of those weeks where you look at what was misses, what were, you know, the misses and the hits, and very, very interesting. But what do we got looking forward to this week? That's not,
you know,
it's pretty light, it looks like.
Yeah,
anyway,
there's not a lot on there. Not a lot on there, but what's on there is pretty important. We got both the new and existing home sales data coming out next week. The existing home sales is tomorrow, new home sales on Friday. And then CPI on Wednesday, you know, that in the past has been a market mover. I mean, in the distant past, inflation has been considered so low for so long that it hadn't had much influence on the market, but at some point it will. And then let's see what happens to jobless claims after
yes.
last week's very low number. It'd be interesting to see if this week holds. Consensus calls for it to be closer to the 300,000 number that sort of we'd been seeing, which is a good number, though.
Yeah, it's a good number, yeah. I mean, the jobless claims numbers, unemployment, job growth, again, all very positive. The unemployment down, at least the U3. Is it U3 that they report mostly? I think U3 or U4 they report most commonly.
Yeah, I don't know, Dave. The 5.9%, I don't know which
yeah.
of those that is.
I think it's U3. There's six of them I know, and I think it's U3, which is the most commonly reported one. But that's, I mean, and then JOLTS report, I mean, all that stuff. So the employment situation is looking good. Housing is kind of, you know, builder sentiment wasn't real excited, although it's pretty close. But, I mean, it's just really interesting. This is a time where you got to have a service because it takes just one news element to tip this thing over. And the reason I'm so, you know, there's a lot of great services out there, folks, but I got to tell you, the one that the reason I'm so fond of this one, which is MBS Quote Line, is because it really just gets you what you need. And if you're interested in analysis and all that, there's a lot of a really expensive service you can get out there and get that. But if you're interested in just going, should I lock, should I hold, should I fold, what should I do? This is the service. So stay tuned. We're going to have some more. We've got Paul Mallow just dialed in, going to have him on in just a minute. But, Joe, thanks so much for bringing this
yeah.
to us and doing such a great job. We'll be right back, folks, after this
Thank
brief
you.
Break.
Looking for that competitive edge? MBS Quoteline delivers live market coverage for originators. Get up-to-the-minute mortgage market news and analysis as events occur.
Get MBS prices as trades happen.
Straight to your computer, email, cell phone, or PDA. Know in advance when your investors will reprice. Make better lock-float decisions and increase your income. Be the expert your clients expect and know what's moving interest rates right now, tomorrow, and beyond. MBS Quoteline, delivering live market coverage for originators. Learn more about MBS Quoteline today at MBSQuoteLine.com.
MBSQuoteLine.com.
646-716-4972. The Lincoln on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lincoln.
Good to have you with us, everybody. Appreciate it. And I also appreciate Paul Mallow dialing in. Paul, I don't have the ability to have your website up here to look at it right now because I'm just operating off my laptop. But give us an update of what's on the things, the stories you're following. You email me all the time for different things, so it's always fun to see what you're tracking, what's catching your radar screen.
You don't have her site up? This is outrageous. I'm leaving. How can that be, David? I thought you were Mr. Tech.
I am, but I got a small screen.
I know. You're at the show now, right?
I'm at the show. We're doing the broadcast from the Mandalay Bay, and I'm doing it off my laptop, which I miss those big monitors I have back at the office. So, but anyway, so I can't get it fit it all up there here. So.
Well, I'm not at the show, but my editor-in-chief, John Bancroft, is there, and I know there's other trade press, obviously, there, and the Journal,
yeah.
I assume, and all the gang. Anyway, there's some big news this morning, at least on the Ginnie Mae front, and that's on our website now, www.imfnews.com. Apparently, Tozer promised that he was going to put out the Ginnie Mae capital rules or in guidelines, and they're out. You know, it's not like earth-shattering. We knew that these were in the works. But I think what might be most interesting, you know, come next year, it looks like Ginnie wants to score their issuers on a monthly basis against a predefined group. And, you know, what they're getting at here, you know, they've seen the growth in the non-banks. They're a little nervous whether the non-banks – some of the new entrants, that is, I should clarify that. The new entrants have the financial wherewithal if something goes wrong. Because otherwise, Ginnie Mae's got to, you know, they got to put out in, on the payments on the bonds. So that's a big story. Tozer speaks
that
this afternoon. His speech was released early. We actually had John Bancroft had an interview with him yesterday. We sent out an alert to our readers this morning, and then the official news came out about 2 hours later. But the big news at the show is going to be Watt's speech this afternoon, or I should say probably in about an hour or so.
Yep.
You know, there were reports last week in the Journal and elsewhere that he's coming up with some kind of plan, a proposal, where he wants to loosen the credit box. The industry wants buyback relief. The question is, what are the details? How are they going to get there? The press reports that I've seen and I've also heard from some of the people who claim to be close to this thing is the, you know, the big news is the higher LTVs. Fannie and Freddie will go back to buying 97% loans, but you know, we should point out they're doing some of this now. At least Fannie is, through the housing finance agencies, their special programs. So those programs have been out there. They're just not generating big volumes. I think there's a little bit of a disconnect. This is more about, it's more than just about the higher LTVs on the mortgage insurance. It has to do with different kinds of loan level price adjustments. And, you know, Watt wants to loosen the credit box for people who are credit impaired. He believes that, I guess, certain segments of the minority community maybe aren't getting a fair shake as purchasers. And these numbers, the ratios on approvals could be better on purchase money lending. So he's trying to get at that. But, you know, the industry is really nervous. I mean, they are sick of buybacks. And they're not just sick of buybacks. They're sick of getting dinged for little itty-bitty problems that Fannie and Freddie find with the loans, and they get sent back, and it takes them, you know, weeks or whatever to correct minor underwriting snafus. And, you know, so, you know, the industry wants something in return.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting. From what I understand, he's going to talk about it. I don't think a formal proposal is going to be, you know, officially released to the public, but that's coming. I guess people are going to, you know, basically see what he says, and he's supposed to at least talk about it a little bit, and you know, but we'll see. I mean, I've heard it both ways. It's one of those fluid situations.
It is.
So that's
yeah,
the big speech today at the show. We also have a story on the website. Banks apparently are emerging in the mortgage M&A market. I talked to some guy named Chuck Klein, who I think you're familiar with.
My business partner.
He's seen a little bit. Larry Charbonneau, who works in the M&A circuit with his firm. So that's on the website now. John Bancroft crunched some production data for the third quarter. Some of the big banks have released. And basically it's a situation of, you know, mortgage production has turned out to be halfway decent in the third quarter, and a lot of analysts didn't anticipate that.
There's more
servicing deals from Phoenix Capital. Interactive Mortgage Advisors has got a portfolio out. And those bulk MSR deals are continuing to come out. We're seeing more and more of them, and there's probably going to be quite a few before year-end. And then in the short take section of the website, we you know, wax poetic a little bit about Mel Watt. We got a short note about IBM. Their stock got smacked around. And the reason IBM is of interest to mortgage bankers, they, of course, own Ceteris, a big specialty servicer to Fannie Mae. You know, the IBM Ceteris thing is very interesting. They're like the Kremlin. We don't know anything about what they're doing. They're a big contractor for Fannie. They're a big subservicer for Fannie, but you can't get the time of day out of this firm. You know, it's a very strange situation for a publicly traded company like that. And just before I came on, I saw that New Residential, which is one of these spinoffs, and I'm trying to remember if they're tied in with NationStar, one of the public mortgage non-banks. Their stock is going through the roof this morning. I don't know why. I'm going to check on that to see what's going on. It just happened. I don't know. Unless I'm reading my screen wrong, something's going on with NewRes, but it's to the upside, you know, big time. So
positive news, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what's up.
Whatever.
So anyway, you're at the show. I'm not. And,
I'll dig it out, see what we can find out.
Yeah.
I'll come. We'll do the famous, I'll shoot you an email from the floor when I find out something. So I'll head over there and see what we can dig out on that. But interesting. I mean, the amazing, I talk about computer screens, and you must have just a gazillion of to track all the things you track to report on. It's just, I mean, you guys really do an outstanding job over there. And folks that are not using this, got to check it out, www.imfnews.com. It's one of the best services around. I'm serious. excellent stuff. Appreciate you so much being here.
Thank you, David.
And well, look forward to trying to connect with John Bancroft. Maybe I'll see him in the press room. So.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, friend.
Have a good one.
Talk to you soon.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Alice Alvey just dialed back in. It looks like we lost you there for a little while, Alice. Good to have you here with us.
Well, it's good to be here, Dave. You know, I'm walking through the casino, so maybe you hear the ching, ching, ching going on in the background, but trying to get to my next meeting. It's a crazy place to have an event, that's for sure. I know,
not one of my favorite, for sure.
So,
what do you got for us? We've had a great dinner. We've had some good meetings here. I mean, just give our listeners a sense of, from the floor of the conference, what's your sense here? Of the overall impression, what you're sensing here.
Well, I think it's a great venue so far. It's just absolutely wonderful seeing all the folks from the various mortgage operations and sales and management. And for us, actually, one of the things I'm hearing for a couple of folks I've talked to is just the idea of the FHA guides. I've talked to a few folks about the FHA new 4000 that's been published and everything that's missing in it. You know, it's one thing to say, yeah, we got this great new guide. We think we consolidated a lot of things. But, you know, if I'm a lender looking at this saying, how can I reduce my buyback risk? I don't feel like I got a lot of warm and fuzzy out of this manual because it seems to leave a lot of unanswered questions,
right.
A lot of things that are open. And so on my operations side, I've had those conversations. Servicing folks, a few of our banks are talking about a little bit of runoff, you know, with the change in the rates. So that's a little bit some of the conversation. So it's just a very big mix, and everybody trying to get a handle on all the new technology. We've heard a couple of folks talking just simply about the idea of new automated underwriting systems that can handle, you know, something other than Fannie and Freddie. And so I'm sure Tony can give us some updates on the tech side on that going forward. For me, that was one of my big heads up for everybody. The new 4000 guide, the single family handbook's been out now for a couple of weeks. It's for case numbers effective January 15th. You do need to make sure you've got somebody dissecting through this and being able to really kind of get in the weeds on what's not there, what's changed. You know, we get with FHA, it's the difference between the word if and then, right?
Yes.
Say and or in a particular sentence. And so that's the analysis that's going on now, and we're certainly going through that too. Our FHA practical guide will be completely updated to reflect all of FHA's things. And then the other thing we do is we keep the old stuff too, because you'll still have the QC stuff in the pipeline that has to manage it also. Secondly is just haven't had any movement on the legislative front from the Mortgage Choice Act that we've been watching to potentially get us any kind of relief, and I haven't heard anything yet, so we'll be listening for that here at this show, see if anybody brings up any change, possible change in how qualified mortgages are working. It doesn't seem to be that there's any real hope for that happening, but we'll keep watching that for you as well. And those are the big things right now from my vantage point. I'm looking forward to hearing what Dave Stevens has to say today.
Yes, it's going to be really good. I recorded the interview just a short time ago, and it's really exciting, some of the commentary he has. It's, of course, the conference, I mean, there are so many rumors of consolidation. That's the thing that came out of Tony Garitano's. I mean, the amount of consolidation, which is really the general consensus, is we're not going to have much innovation when it comes to technology. There's some new, at least from the existing players, I think there's some new technology companies coming in, and that's what's going to be really interesting, Alice, is the new players are coming in to take advantage of it. I know you had a chance to talk with Janet and Allison from Sapiens. It's just really interesting, some of the things that are out of the box, kind of out of the what you'd think of, coming in and could have a dramatic impact. So appreciate you taking time. Go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say, and the resources and trying to save everybody money, right? So
yes.
If you've got to try and get a bigger margin out of what's closing now, that's what I think a lot of the solutions are trying to focus on.
Well, I know you have a meeting this afternoon that you're heading off to. In fact, you're walking off to it, so I know you can't probably stay on the rest of the broadcast to listen to Stevens, but I hope you can. But if you can, it'd be great, or dial back in. I'd love to get some of your thoughts on that if you have time, Alice. But it's good to have you taking time as you're walking through the casino with the ching-a-ling going on in the background, the one-armed bandits pulling money out of people's pockets.
They don't get any of my money. That's not my game. But I want to make sure the folks on the program know Dave and I have been talking about interviewing Dave for future shows. You are such a wealth of knowledge, and I know that you have the ear of so many people at this conference, and we want to make sure listeners get a chance to hear your thoughts. So I'm looking forward to when we can have the interviewing Dave sessions in the coming
weeks. We're going to be doing that soon. You talked me into it last night, so I'm looking forward to it. Well, let's have a great rest of the conference.
Have a great day.
I think you and I have got several meetings together this afternoon. Look forward to it. I'm looking forward to hearing Mel Watt's comments. Are you going to be attending that session by chance?
I'll see what I can do. Yep, that sounds like a good one. But there's the Respetila session, too. So we'll.
Oh, that's right. There's so much here. Just so much. Well, appreciate it. I look forward to getting your commentary later on, and have a great rest of the conference. We don't see
you
on the radio program. Enjoy it, and I'll see you a little bit later on today.
All right. Take care. Have a great day.
You bet. Folks, we're going to be right back after this brief break.
If you have questions about mortgage regulations, Indicom Mortgage U has free answers. If you need ideas about how to reinvent your organization, Indicom Mortgage U will share great ideas. When you need help at any step of the loan process, give us a call or send an email. The Indicom team of experts have been helping mortgage players from origination through servicing for over 30 years. Your success is our focus. Whether it's a quick question or long-term support, portfolio, conventional, or government lending, it's a competitive market. So let Indicom Mortgage U give you the edge.
Good to have you back, everybody. There's so much going on here at the conference. I was just thinking of a couple of the conversations we've had here. There's a lot of innovation. When we say there's not innovation, it's not there. Because of the consolidation of the existing legacy systems, it's going to be difficult to see the innovation come from anything. Tony Garitano is not going to be able to be on the broadcast. He's here at the conference. Everyone's trying to get around to all the sessions they can. It's amazing how much we try to cram into 2 full days and a half day on either side. It's just amazing what we were trying to cram in. But he has got some meetings. But the event, the Gage event, is the one that he holds on every year just preceding the annual mortgage banking conference that's in the city that's at. It's called Engage. What it is a group of us get together. It's all the technology folks from the industry get together there. The folks from Mativity was there. Of course, Gabe Minton from Black Knight was there. He's like a legend. And then I could go on and on and all. Kelly Purcell of ECSI and just a lot of great folks. But anyway, we were sitting around talking at the table, and one of the questions that came out was, what is it going to be coming from the outside? And what the general consensus that I'm hearing and seem to be shared with the participants there is the innovation is going to be coming from outside our industry. And the innovation will be coming in the form of new products, things and technologies that are being introduced outside the industry are coming in. There's a lot of opportunity here. So it's not that we're not going to see innovation within our industry. What's going to be is innovation most likely will be coming from outside, and they'll be coming into our industry. And case in point is D&H. I sat at the table with them, had some meetings, got some more meetings with them. They're a Canadian-based firm. They bought MortgageBot, then Avista, then my old software company that I started in my garage was Interlink Software. They bought that, and they're in an acquisition mode, and they're bringing this all together. And again, while they were in the financial services business up in Canada as a check supplier, they have really come into the financial technology space, fintech as we call it, and that's an example of one that is actually has happened here recently, and we're going to see more of that is what I predict. So innovation, lots of stuff going on. It's good to have you all with us. The Profit Doctor is not with us, as neither is Tony Garitano, as I said a moment ago, but Profit Doctor is out traveling and making some house calls. So he is out, and we love having him on, miss him, wish him well and his travels where he's out and about. There's so much to talk about, but I really want at this moment to really get in and play the interview that I just recorded with David Stevens. And then Joe and I will come on and talk about that. I'm not sure if Alice will be able to join back in, but looking forward to sharing this with you. So here's my interview with David Stevens.
Listeners, we're so fortunate to have caught up with David Stevens, President and CEO of the Mortgage Bankers Association of America. We're here in Las Vegas attending the 101st Annual Mortgage Bankers Association Conference. David, it's good to have you here with us and appreciate you taking a few minutes to speak to our listeners.
Great to be here, David. Always with you.
David, we both know how important these conferences are, but I want to start off by talking to those individuals that couldn't find the time to be here or chose not to be here. Let's start by talking to them about what they're missing out and the importance of being here.
Yeah, so I appreciate you pointing it that way. I've only been running the MBA for a few years, but I've been a mortgage banker for well over three decades. And I always marvel at those who don't come to a conference like this, because with so much going on in our industry that could affect success or failure of any individual, you know, for whatever the registration fee is, you can't buy that much information in a three-day period that you get in one location anywhere for that kind of price. So the ability to interact with peers, to network, is just the beginning. But to be able to, you know, get critical policy information from leaders like the brand-new HUD Secretary Castro or Director Mel Watt from FHFA, both of whom will be speaking. The CEOs of both Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are going to be talking about their policy objectives going forward. But even more so, the vast information that comes from all the panels and breakouts, from regulatory experts, business leaders, about how to be successful in markets like this, it all happens under one roof. And, you know, as I said, you can't get that anywhere else. You can't package that and buy that in a bottle or in a book. It only happens once a year at this conference.
David, that's so true. And I'm really excited about the lineup of speakers that you have here at this conference. So let's get into that. And also, I'm really interested in hearing what you specifically are most paying attention to here at the conference. What are the sessions that you're going to be really zeroing your focus and attention on, and why?
Well, you know, people come to these things for different reasons, as you well know, David, and you've been coming to our conferences for a long time.
Decades, yes.
And I'll tell you, the number one thing that people always, in our survey feedback, is just the fact that they're networking with literally the entire industry, all the major buyers and sellers of mortgages, the technology providers. All of that is interesting. For me personally, you know, I'm living the impacts of a regulatory framework that has, you know, to put it mildly, has overreached its boundaries and is impacting the ability for many creditworthy families to get mortgage credit. So I'm more interested to personally go through the sessions on Monday where Julian Castro is going to be speaking, because he's made some positive comments in his first couple speeches about the need to partner with lenders and remove the stigma about home ownership. And I want to hear what he is going to be talking about, because he could be a key voice in these remaining 2 years of this presidential administration to maybe change the dialogue that's been so negative about lending and mortgage banking and turn it into an opportunity market about home buying. And so, you know, that's an example. I think Mel Watt's going to have an interesting one too, David. Mel is, he's been FHFA director now for many months, but he has a new scorecard out, a strategic plan. But more importantly, I know he and his team have been working pretty diligently on getting some better certainty around repurchase risk and representations and warranties. And I want to hear what he has to say about that from the podium. And so those are examples of where I think we're going to have some, you know, interesting kind of information. I could go on. I mean, there's, you know, the future of government housing finance is a great panel. We have the new Binyam Ghebri, who is currently the General Deputy Assistant Secretary of HUD, but is going to be the acting FHA commissioner as Carol Galante retires in November. He'll be up there with Ted Tozer from Ginnie Mae, and I think it's really important to see the new blood that's coming in, because you get a tone of what their temperament is. So just take an example. If you're a non-bank originator, there's been a lot of what I would consider very unfair attacks on non-bank business models. Ginnie Mae and FHA are key access points for the non-bank originator, getting approval through FHA, getting approval to be a servicer in Ginnie Mae, getting the ability to sell your servicing to other servicing buyers. These are all like critical aspects of being able to run a successful and profitable mortgage business, particularly if you're not a large, you know, depository institution. And from that standpoint, I think hearing Binyam and Ted on the podium talking about these issues is going to be, you know, really valuable. Of course, there are formalized networking sessions. So, for example, from 4:30 to 5:30 on the first day, there's a networking reception. This is a place to come and to have business executives talk. But, you know, also don't forget, you got Michael Lewis, the author of The Big Short, speaking. You've got, you know, that kind of interesting perspective on finance and moving forward as well. So there's an entertainment factor. Our chief economist will be presenting.
Yes.
They'll be presenting the economic forecast, and I will tell you there's some surprises in the forecast. This has actually been a much worse purchase mortgage origination year than anybody would have expected, and I think you're going to be surprised by their updated forecast they're going to roll out, and the forecast, more importantly, looking ahead. So if you're in the business, you're planning on how am I going to focus my efforts next year strategically, what's the market going to look like? A lot has to do with what's the size of the market going to look like, what's the borrower profiles, what are the volumes expectations going to be. There's a best practices for managing your servicing. I think this one's going to be really interesting because we have an independent mortgage banker, Phil DeFranzo. He runs Norcom Mortgage in Connecticut, and they're at the last I checked, they were the largest retail originator in the state of Connecticut. But he's growing. He's going to be up there along with Greg Tornquist, who's the CEO of Cenlar, and others who are in the space, John Burnett from Phoenix Collateral Advisors. So you're going to have this group of experts that can talk about holding, selling, subservicing, how servicing purchasing opportunities grow. If you're a growing mortgage banker right now and you're just selling whole loan or selling deal by deal with the servicing asset to an investor, there are other ways you can do this business. These are lessons to learn.
And I know you're just scratching the surface of all that's going on there. I'm excited to be moderating the panel, Survival Strategies for Declining Margins and Volumes. Very excited about that. And then this last week, I was with Ken Markinson in New Jersey at a conference and had a chance to go to dinner with Ken and a group of attorneys who contributed to the Compliance Essentials.
Did you want to like slit your wrist after spending dinner with a bunch of compliance people? Those discussions are always so depressing.
That's so funny. But the reality is while we may not enjoy listening to the topic, what Kenneth has brought together is a valuable resource in collaboration with these attorneys for the industry.
Yeah. What's really amazing about the Compliance Essentials, and obviously we have a broad network of a Compliance Essentials programs that can be purchased, is not just how to be compliant. It actually gives the forms that you can use in your workflow systems to actually implement qualified mortgage points and fees test and how to make sure it's implemented effectively in your system. For particularly smaller lenders, it's relatively invaluable. We're about to roll out, obviously, the RESPA TILA Compliance Essentials, which is coming soon. But what I've been most amazed by our Compliance Essential programs is how rapid the purchases have been on these. We've had some of the top five banks have bought thousands of sets of these programs, but it's selling to institutions large and small across the country. Even federal regulators are taking our Compliance Essentials programs and getting them in their own operations. So, that's something, by the way, for anybody who is at the conference, I think you get it at a discount if you're registered conference. So find our booth and take a look.
So true, and I encourage our listeners that are attending the conference to swing by and take a look at the Compliance Essentials. Really a great product. Again, not just for independent mortgage bankers. It sounds like for the entire industry. Let's shift gears. Talk about some of the entertainment that's going to be here this year. I'm real excited about who you've got lined up, David.
Well, we got Hall & Oates performing. And we've had some great concerts. And I think for people who may have come to MBA events years ago, you always had to pay for it. It was Club MBA, and you'd buy a ticket, and you'd take your clients if you were in the business and get a table, and then you'd have a dinner and a show. We've eliminated the cold ham and cheese dinner, and we've replaced it with a fun party, which is actually the concert's free, of course, for every registered attendee. And it's a great party on Tuesday night. Hall & Oates will be playing. They're sounding amazing. I'm an old guy. As I think you and I are in the same sort of genre.
Yep.
So I listened to Hall & Oates when I was a young guy. But, Daryl Hall has remained very active in the mortgage in the music industry, and I'm really psyched about that show, man. That's going to be very good. For that, get in your blue jeans and come to that show. That's the way to have fun at that particular concert.
Personally, I'm glad you eliminated Club MBA and turned it into a party for all those that are registered attending this event. It's a great way for us to come together. It's a celebratory mood that we're all in at that event, and it's just a lot of fun and a great way to network. Dave, let's talk about some of the other upcoming conferences that are on the calendar. A lot of people struggle with which one to go to. Personally, I think going to the annual conference is essential, but there is the upcoming Independent Mortgage Bankers Conference that is also excellent. Speak to those that are struggling which one to go to and feel that they need to pick and choose which of the conferences to attend.
Well, look, we put on 20 conferences and I honestly, we have people who come to every one of them from the same individuals. But the bigger part of this is, for mortgage companies, we typically see the same companies, particularly those that are most focused on being current and compliant. They'll send their key people to their respective conferences. So, The Independent Mortgage Bankers Conference, as you alluded to, we started it. I started it when I first came to MBA. I thought that we needed a special conference dedicated to the IMB because they have very unique interests and needs in the marketplace, and they're extremely important because they're monoline companies that only do mortgage banking. And so that's their expertise, and I thought having that conference was really important. Bill Cosgrove, who's our chairman this year, was actually on the ladder at the time when we were first talking about it at MBA and has been a core visionary part of this thing from the very beginning. And he's our chairman this year, so I'm hoping we get a great turnout. I would tell you, just as an IMB, David, I don't want to go off on the tangent, but there's a lot of pressure on independent mortgage bankers, but at the same time, extraordinary opportunity. And so this is where you learn about servicing, secondary markets, hedging strategies, new technology and compliance systems that can make you perhaps more efficient than the way you're doing it today, legal risks associated in the marketplace, how to deal with an examination, strategies for selling and success. I mean, all of this stuff is in one conference focused just on this particular portion of the marketplace. But then, as you know, we go in the winter.
Yep.
My favorite conference in the winter, I hate to tell you, which is no surprise, is I'm a big skier. But
yes.
It's the Midwinter Housing Conference, and that's at Beaver Creek, Colorado. But I'll tell you, that conference, the feedback I get out of that one conference is everybody who comes every year tells me this is the most valuable conference they ever go to because it's intimate. And
yes,
we cap it. So I think we cap it at 150 or something like that. And so when it's full, we don't let more other people in. And so, you know, last year people were hanging out with Secretary Sean Donovan and Bob Ryan, who's the number two guy at FHFA, and you don't get that kind of interaction in that kind of environment. And so you do get a little skiing in, but you get a lot of amazing work product in. But throughout the year, servicing conference, just focused on servicing. Our secondary markets conference in New York in May, it's one of our most renowned conferences, but that's all capital markets focused. It's where you go and you find the folks who are thinking of new opportunities. And I'll give you just one example, David. I had breakfast this morning with a mortgage REIT that's going to be rolling out a high loan-to-value prime product that's non-agency, focused on the jumbo space. You know, for banks looking to see what's coming out, we're going to see more competition in the marketplace with new products and new capital coming to the markets. Secondary markets is where you go. So you got to go to more than one. You know, the annual conference it gives you a wealth of knowledge, but in a market that's currently changing, in a regulatory climate that's currently changing, you know, if you're concerned about compliance, you go to our compliance conference and you send your compliance officers to that conference. But, you know, depending on where you stand in the org chart of your company, at minimum, your company should be at everyone. And the question is, who from within your company comes to what conference? That can be determined by which conference it is. But again, 19 of them every year, even a diversity and inclusion conference here in Washington, D.C. in April. That's one that has had extraordinary turnout last year, has a lot of interest right now because of the diversity of new home ownership in this country. People want to figure out new ways to tap into the Latino and African-American community in order to grow their businesses. So, you know, literally, I could tell a story about each one of them, but they're all really important.
David, thanks so much for taking some time out of your busy day here at the conference to join us. I just want to also give a big shout out to the sponsors of this conference. Appreciate them making the contribution so this is possible to be at an affordable rate. Companies like Freedom Mortgage, Radian, United Guarantee. Of course, we love United Guarantee. They're a sponsor of our radio broadcast as well. Black Knight, Essence, First American, KPMG, MERS, Stewart Lender Services, VantageScore. There's a host of the companies, and I want to say a personal thank you to them for being sponsors so that all of us can attend this conference and do so at a cost that's affordable. Again, we've had David Stevens, the president and CEO of the Mortgage Bankers Association of America, as our guest. I wish you all were out here. For those of you who are, look forward to connecting with you. Be sure to look me up if you see me in the hallways. Appreciate hearing from our listeners when attending these conferences. Folks, be sure to come back here next.
I was going to go ahead and I wasn't sure how much time we had after that interview, so I had recorded an ending as if we were going right out to the end of the broadcast. But we got a few minutes. I want to talk with Joe about some of the comments you heard from David. And then also what's really interesting, it's coming up, and it's unfortunately we're doing this broadcast on Monday, but tomorrow morning Mike Frattantoni is going to be talking about, and when David alluded to some surprises in Mike's forecast, that has really piqued my attention, Joe. It causes me to want to speculate. Is volume going up or is it going to go down? So, your thoughts?
I just know how difficult it is to forecast these days. I know the NBA missed pretty big on their forecast for this year. And it's hard to imagine put into the end of that forecast to get it anywhere close to right. And the things that the forecast are based off of, you have very little, it's sort of non-natural things. It's the things like Fed involvement. It's how high are interest rates going to go? How quickly are they going to go higher? And that's just a very difficult thing to get your arms around these days.
And I know they have a staff, and Mike Frattantoni, Mike, I've known Mike now for a number of years, and Chance, as you know, we've had him on the broadcast, and we'll have him on next week, listeners. So make sure you tune in next week, because Mike Frattantoni will be sharing what he's sharing here at the conference tomorrow. He'll be sharing next Monday on our broadcast. And so we're going to get into a great deal of detail. I'm going to carve out as much time as possible next week so we have as long as possible to hear all that Mike has to share. So that's going to be really interesting. But you're right, Joe, it's just impossible to be able to guess that when you have so many dynamics in the market. I mean, just looking at the market again, looking at your screen, while there's not a lot of volatility today compared to last week, we're not having the crazy swings, it's definitely been a little bit of an up and down type thing. And so when you predict what is going to go on with Europe, I mean, the European Central Bank, I mean, ECB, is that going to be impacting it? Yes. Our world events, of course they do. These are things that, and anytime we have a flight to quality, it just drives interest rates down. It's just we're still the safest bet around, even though we're far from a perfect economy and a perfect setting. The reality is a flight to quality helps mortgages, helps mortgage rates, which helps housing, hopefully, at least by virtue of having lower rates, it should help housing. And so we see the situation come up where, how in the heck can you predict that? I was teasing Mike about that, and he goes, Dave, and to think, I picked up and took over as the chief economist as some of the volatility is hitting it. It's timing is everything. So good commentary on that. Go ahead.
What it says is, and I know it just drives banks crazy, because banks can forecast. They can, not that they're more skilled at it, but that their business is more predictable.
Right.
Mortgage banks that are part of a bank, it's got to be terribly frustrating, because just because you say X, but we're going to do X amount of volume next year, that's not something that you can do given what can happen to mortgage rates.
Right.
It just builds the argument that says, boy, keep your business as flexible as you can be.
Yeah, I think keeping a variable cost structure, and that's what Alice and I were at dinner last night. She says, Dave, when are we going to have you on? I'm sharing some thoughts of things that I've been getting, and she goes, Dave, I have to be out of the office, and we'll miss November 24th broadcast. I've got the dreaded annual procedure that happens where the guy's got to go in for a colonoscopy. Not that I want. That may be TMI for many, but it's just one of those things. So I've got to be out. That's the only date they have. And so Alice says, she does the hosting. You guys do a great job when I'm gone. I said, who would you pick to be your guest that you want to have on that? She says, I want you on, because I want you to share all the stuff that you share with us. And then I really want it to be out there for everyone to hear. And so I agreed with – I said, I like asking the questions. I don't like to be the focus of the whole hot topic, because there's just so many really smart people out there. So we're going to be sharing about that, some of the things that we're seeing. And you – one of the things, as you know, is we are big on a variable cost model. And you hit it when you just had made that comment, is in these times of uncertainty, when you have the volatility that you can, the only way you're going to survive – successfully is being able to control costs. And the only way you can control costs is either you have layoffs and hires, or you get to a variable cost model as much as possible. And so we'll be talking more about those trend lines. But let's talk a little bit about some of the things as it relates to your world. I actually had someone asking me about your business model, how well you're doing. And I think you guys do a great, great job, Joe. And I look at different companies, and it seems like there's such a tendency to want to go to analysis, and they have all this information out there. But really what you do, and this sounds like it's an ad, it's not intended that, I really want to talk about the essence of what is really necessary, because I think we get focused on so many extemporaneous things, the things of interest, but the things that are not essential. You really focus on that. How did you get to that place? I mean, how did you find out that it's really more about, you know, it's doing this right now, lock or don't lock or whatever? How did you get to that?
Well, Dave, it's a matter of trying to avoid risk, you know, and I heard last week during the big swings in the stock market, one of the analysts there said he's a trader, all right? And he said, I have had a great week being a trader.
But oh, yeah.
Mortgage lenders aren't traders. You know, the definition of that means you're going to do lots of transactions and you're going to win a few more than you lose, but that's going to be good enough to make some money. Mortgage bankers aren't that way. An originator doesn't want to upset half his customers or 49% of his customers if he's able to take some analysis and feel like it makes him just slightly more than a 50-50 guess of what's going to happen. And so we're all about understanding what's going on with the market right now, using that information to benefit yourself and your customers and your company, and not taking that risk. Avoid the risk. Don't expect that your information is telling you prices will be better tomorrow. Once you've lost a rate sheet, you're at the total risk of the market.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that there's so many people that want to analyze everything. I go, your job is, if you're a loan originator, your job is to sell the product, know whether or not to hold a fold, I mean, lock or float, and be able to communicate why intelligently and concisely. You're not here to be a market analysis. And I think so many people want to get caught up in being in a market analysis. Tell them to turn into, you know, Fox Business, CNBC, or whatever their favorite voice of getting financial news. Do that. You're here to make loans during the day. And don't be getting caught up in that. Here's what, you know, that's why I value the service that you do, is you're not trying to play the role of an analyst. You're trying to provide the most valuable information on the spot. Any thoughts about, I'm sure you're excited to hear what Fred and Tony has to say, and I think we look at some of the
things.
Well,
I am. But you know what I'm more interested in is what Mel Watt's going to say today.
Yes.
I think, you know, going into the speech, he's supposed to be describing how he's going to make things easier for the lower end to get a mortgage. And that is exactly why I have felt like that it's going to be very difficult to totally privatize the industry. There is too much political gain to be had by being in a Mel Watt position to say, I'm going to make it easier for this group or that group to get loans.
Yeah.
And so will we ever see the government give up that much control? Will they be willing to say, I'm going to count on the private sector to take care of this sector, that sector of people in our economy? And I just don't see it.
I don't see it either. I think the big news today and what they're under pressure on, and in fact, for those listeners that follow me and want to see my commentary, I'll be on with Neil Cavuto tomorrow in Fox Business tomorrow night, and they're taping some comments of me earlier in the day, and then it'll be shown live at night several times. So watch next week or tomorrow. Neil Cavuto, I'll be on Fox and commenting about Mel Watt's comments. But what they're talking about is here in the big press release he released and the comments he'll be making tomorrow, really interesting Q&A session because that's where the real extra details come out. But he's talking about loosening the credit box. Well, we don't need a credit box where we're doing 97%. The problem is we got a litigious world, and that's what Paul and I were talking about earlier, and you were listening to those comments. I mean, the problem is not the box. The problem is if we get outside of QM or get to the edge of QM, there's so much concern that we're going to be facing CFPB action and if there's even one slight complaint from the consumer. So the problem is not the credit box. The problem is the litigious regulatory environment we're in. And that's what David Stevens said in his interview. That's one of the things that really came out. It's very obvious to those in the Trade Association, the Mortgage Bankers Association, anyone that's tracking this, it is a litigious environment as a result of poorly written Dodd-Frank and the CFPB. And I'm of the opinion now the CFPB is trying to do their best. And he's like, you can't say this looking with a straight face, can you? And I go, yeah. I've sat down and talked to Dan Webster. We've got him speaking to Dan Smith. And we've got these other guys out there that are really – I see the effort that these guys are trying to go to get it right. But they're trying to interpret things. But here's the deal. They respond to what? Consumers. What's the first name in CFPB? Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. They're responding to consumers on a poorly written rule. So at the same time, we as an industry are going to be saying how high, as the CFPB says, jump. And that's just the environment. Until we fix that, I got to tell you, lenders are not going to go close to the edge, on the, at least most responsible lenders.
Can you imagine if all those things haven't been fixed first, can you imagine somebody being excited about now doing 97% loans instead of
95%? It's kind of like, hello, Mel. I mean, you're a smart guy. You're a politician. Granted, you're a politician. That didn't mean, but not all your brains ran out just because you became that. I just don't understand that. And I respect Mel, and I understand all the – I mean, he is actually – the people. David Stevens knows him quite well and says he is really a nice guy, and he's really trying to get it right. But the administration – here's what's really behind this story. The administration understands that we are overregulated. So rather than deal with the regulations – they can't change Dodd-Frank. That was written by two Democrats. We're not going to go out and see that change anytime soon. They're not going to do that. So what they're going to do is put pressure on Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. I tell you, it's not going to work. Mm-hmm. They're going to continue to be frustrated. So always fun to do these broadcasts. I love it, Joe. Thank you so much for being there. And, you know, I know you're not here at the conference. You're there at Austin. I'm just a big champion of what you do and appreciate your contribution to the broadcast each and every week. And really looking forward to the comments. I need to race on to the next event. That's the next meeting I've got. And I want to just say thank you and hope you have a great day. Now, everybody, Thanks. Pay attention. Next week, who's going to be on here? This is a test. Michael Frantoni, chief economist for the for the MBA. He'll be talking about and sharing his predictions he's giving here tomorrow. You will not want to miss that broadcast. Good to have you with us, everybody. Appreciate you, and have a great week. Look forward to seeing you back here next week.
This has been Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. Today's guests were Joe Farr from MBS Quoteline, Andy Schell of Mortgage Banking Solutions, and Alice Alvey, President CMB of Mortgage U. Come by next week and thank you for listening.